On a personal note, I have had so many opportunities to work very closely with you, both here and in, all over the state, and in Washington, D.C., with the focal point being the 203 process. And it has been a tremendous educational opportunity, which really highlights, you know, the decades of experience that you have and have always been willing to share and have always used to accomplish the goals that this agency has. You've been kind enough to give us highlights of much of what has been accomplished, even as of late. As has been communicated, I will be tendering my resignation, which will become effective tomorrow, February 15th. We'll be providing our governor with written notification of that resignation. I am very emboldened by his commitment to tackling issues that this agency has successfully been addressing, even in spite of all of the limitations that we face. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that for a moment. It is and has become abundantly clear since I began serving on this board in 2016 that there are a great many well-meaning individuals who have taken it upon themselves to critique or analyze the work performed here that simply do not have a detailed and even remotely complete understanding of the limitations you face when you work here at this agency. Folks have touched upon the complexity of the issues. I think that's pretty obvious. I think we're dealing with trying to figure out how to coincide, and by that I mean, how do we get 8 million plus people to live and work in one of the most unique environmental settings in a manner that is symbiotic? How do we do that as quickly as possible while still being subject to so much limitation? Because so much of the work that is performed here is new. I mean, we were the first folks to get through 203 since, 1986? We're the gold standard. Our task was, in many circumstances, when it came to SB 10, considered to be untenable. But the amazing people that work here, going back to the Packer process, made it happen. That is not, and in my experience, has not been an anomaly. It has been the standard, which has definitely gone, in many instances, unappreciated. I chose to stay on board over the last several months in order to see this opportunity that we call transition present future board members and our stakeholders with an opportunity to build upon successes. There's clearly been a great deal of frustration shared by a wide variety of parties, but there have been so many important relationships that have been formed at a point in time in which there were very caustic assertions being made against people, not just on the board, but in the agency and related to the work that's performed here. I see out in front of me so many people from the NGO sector that I've had an absolute pleasure of working with. I see Celeste and Julie, and there's just a lot of folks here that I personally know understand that what leads the direction, or what should lead the direction of where we're working, is solving the problems for everybody. My most heartfelt recommendation to future board members is that they actively pursue two opportunities. One, take advantage of the asset that sits before you here. As has been said so many times, there are some stupendously talented individuals that have made so many sacrifices, financial and otherwise, to come and work here in an environment that is preposterously challenging. Learn from these folks. Be more enamored with the solution than you are with a theory. That is what our stakeholders deserve. Okay? And secondly, take the opportunity to engage as much as you can outside of your comfort zone, to head out, be in nature with all of our representatives of our stakeholders, communities, and do that as often as possible. To make no mistake, this is a job that will require an extensive time commitment. You know, I mean, you hear our board members say it, and they mean it. You're spending 20, 30 plus hours a week to honor the role that you play here. But finally, looking forward, I know it's been said time and again that there has been so much delay and so much difficulty with getting our solutions up and running. As luck would have it, we're getting to a place where I would consider it to be a tipping point for good. We have so many grand opportunities through SERP and SEP, through local initiatives, through the, you know, the P3s that we function in and throughout, to start to support the bold initiatives that have been, or continue supporting, as a matter of fact, the bold initiatives that have been identified by the governor to build, not just analyze and talk about and argue about, but to build. Because, folks, that's ultimately the major component that's been missing. And we have that opportunity, and we can make it a reality if we actually decide to have discussions that are about solutions and not about personal differences or political differences. And it's going to take a very genuine effort on everyone's part. There are over 8 million people living in the 16 counties. Right, as Brandon said, we are the problem, but we are also the solution. My hopes are going forward that the distractions can be put aside and we can prove that to be the case, that we can prove to be the solution. I'm going to continue, as Irela had mentioned earlier, and there's so many folks here that have been on the board that have gone on to really make a difference. I'm going to continue to try to do that wherever the opportunity lies. And that's my commitment. So I want to thank you all for that. I want to thank staff again. It has been a pleasure to try to work so very hard to put y'all in a position to win, and you have so many times. I want to thank all of our stakeholders, the representatives of the NGO communities that have always been here, that have taken weekly calls with me, that have been around and will continue to be around. That advocacy is so important. Let's give each other a chance. Let's recognize and value the efforts that take place in this building. And I see a very bright future for South Florida.